creature that once I was, and redeemed is now my name.
Special this morning.
Jesus came to Bethesda's pool, where the crippled he'd wait for the waters to move. A man had been lame for 38 years. He asked him this question that still rings in my ears. Will thou be made whole? Do you want a new life? Will thou be made whole? Then believe in Christ. Do you want to be washed as white as the snow? God's question to you, will thou be made whole? He said, there's no man to help me in the pool. I tried to get up. There was nothing I could do. Then Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and go. And by his faith, he was made whole. Will thou be made whole? Do you want a new life? Will thou be made whole? Then believe in Christ. Do you want to be washed as white as the snow? God's question to you, will thou be made whole? God's question to you, will thou be made whole?
Thank you, Brother Herbert, and I hope you enjoyed that song. I enjoy our choir special and all the specials this morning, all the songs the instrumentalists. I hope you grabbed a bulletin on your way in. Psalm 51, let's go ahead and head there. And are we going to have revival anytime a church plans a revival? We have selected the week. We selected the evangelist. We have planned the services. I'm sure that there's going to be Sunday school classes that will feed my family and the evangelist during the revival. I enjoy that. But let me ask you, just because we selected a week, we selected an evangelist, we selected the services, I want to ask you the question of the title of this message: are we going to have revival? Are we going to have what revival? I pray that we've already started having revival. And I'm going to get into the question this morning of what is revival. You can see this is going to be a two-part message. Next Sunday morning we'll be having the part two, and finish it up. This morning, what is revival and who needs revival? Next Sunday morning, why do we need revival and when will we see revival? And those questions will be answered next Sunday morning. While I'm thinking about it, I was trying to find a time to plan it. I'm going to plan, Lord willing, if it's okay with the church, going to plan on having next Sunday night, go ahead and tell our teachers this, next Sunday night, we'll be sharing the movie called Fireproof. If you have already seen that, I know it's been a blessing to you. We did that on Sunday night for the church that put out the movie called Facing the Giants. And so, also, we'll have in the movie, there's a book, a devotional book advocated. It's called The Love Dare. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this about this movie. It's a week from tonight, which will be two nights before our revival. We'll be giving away, and in a manner of which I have not chosen yet, we'll be giving away three copies of a book called The Love Dare. And be giving those away, okay? The church can't afford to buy everybody one, but we could if we really wanted to. But just giving three copies away. And The Love Dare is what it is if you're married, or if you're thinking about getting married, or if marriage is ever in your foreseeable future, this book would be something that would be of great encouragement to your marriage or your potential marriage. Okay? But even if you're not married and you want to see a powerful scriptural movie for the Lord's work next Sunday night, you may have already seen it. And that'll be at 5:00. We won't be having BTC again, unless the church has something going on I don't know about or whatever. And so I think it'll be a great encouragement to you. a week from tonight. So about revival, let's let's take a look at this on Psalm 51, and I'm not even on the right page. Get there. There we go. Psalm 51, let's talk about David, and it's a very powerful passage. As a matter of fact, Brother Glenn, he may even use this during the week. I don't know what he's going to be preaching on. Hopefully just whatever the Lord lays on his heart. I hope you'll read these words along with me. Matter of fact, another project that Sister Marie and I have to get together on is that we're going to have, if you forget your Bible, we're going to have more Bibles available in the pews soon. So if you leave your Bible in the at the house or at the car, you'll be able to look along. Psalm 51, 1 through 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. And so basically David is saying, I messed up. You know, that's a good thing to say, but a lot of us, including myself, have trouble saying it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I messed up. It is because you know why? Your flesh. You have pride. We all have pride. The next few verses, verses 12 through 15, say this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach, because I'm getting right with God, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Do you publicly praise the Lord? Do you publicly say, God has blessed me. I'm thankful for what God's done. It's easy to get caught up in the, I guess it's a word, the negativity of, do you have anybody that you work with, that's go to school with, or in your family that's always negative? Always trying to find the bad in people, the worst side of the story, the glass is half empty, always looking down on people, always ridiculing, always criticizing. But folks, should not we, even if God wired you to be a pessimist? Now, I know some of you are natural pessimists. Some of you are natural optimists. You should ask God, God, help me to praise you even when I'm a pessimist. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a pessimist or being an optimist. But sometimes we forget God is the one whom I need to lift up during the day. I need His help. I need to ask Him to help me have revival this coming week. What is revival? I think about revivals of the past. And some of you can remember some great revivals. I understand that here the past two or three years that we've mixed some of our faith promise meetings with revival, and they've been good. The sermons have been good. I thought Brother Joel Meredith did a good job this past August a couple of years ago. Matter of fact, it was 2 years ago, February, that Brother Lynn Rayburn did a pretty good job, and our faith promise has been good. I do like to just hear good preaching. And the one reason I like good preaching, I like powerful preaching. I like preachers that'll preach. And I enjoyed when we had Brother Glenn Knight, you remember, the last Sunday in December, the last Sunday of the year. And matter of fact, that's what turned some of y'all on to saying, hey, well, he would be a good speaker. And then some of you said, well, when Brother Adrian Neal filled in for me, some of you said, boy, he would be a good revival speaker. And I wasn't here for Brother Adrian, but I've heard him preach before, and I know he does an excellent job. I don't try to get, floozy preacher to fill in for me. I want somebody who will preach when they fill in for me. You'll be saying, hey, I want him. And if Brother Michael goes to Alaska with Clint, I want him for my pastor. That's what kind of fella you need filling in for you, okay? And so think about the great sermons you've heard. Oh, and Brother Glenn, boy, he did a great job. I was here for that one. And Brother Glenn preached. I like it that he just preached. There's a difference between a mission report and somebody just preaching God's word. Have you ever been in a service where the preacher preached for 45 minutes and it seemed like five? And then sometimes the preacher preached for 30 minutes and it seemed like 2 hours. It just drug on forever because I was ready to get out of there. I'm sick and tired of listening to him because he couldn't preach himself out of a wet paper sack. You know, and he could never find his way out. Sometimes you have those days. Sometimes I have preached, and in a long time ago, I stopped asking Karen what was the sermon like, and probably I didn't like the response. But anyway, but sometimes she'll offer it anyway, and she'll say, "Well, what was wrong with you?" She'll say that. "What was wrong with you?" And I say, "Baby, I know you're used to me hitting home runs every time I get up to bat. But sometimes that's just a single. That's all I can do. Sometimes you're not going to hit it out of the park every time. I just got her spoiled, I guess. But anyway, and so sometimes it's a single, sometimes it's a home run. But, you know, just like a baseball player, you can't do it every single time you get up to bat. I love good preaching. I love for preachers to preach. And as long as it's based on the Word of God, what is revival? It's a time, according to our outline here, it's a time of restoring fellowship. Last Sunday night, we had a time of get-togetherness. I am so thankful that I pastor a church that allows me freedom, and you do, and I don't take it for granted. I asked everybody to get up and move. Now, I could do that this morning, but boy, we sure would be cramped if I asked everybody to get up and move this morning. Last Sunday night, I asked everybody to get up and get right in the middle and start about where Brother Tommy is. Sit from Brother Tommy forward. And everybody did last Sunday night, and we had a time that I just poured my heart out and shared about revival and what it takes to have revival. And then we had prayer service. We had an altar call, but then I realized everybody was so packed in they couldn't get out. And so they just prayed where they were. And I understood that. There were some that came down. But I love good fellowship, and I'm so thankful that our church here the past several years has had good fellowship. It doesn't matter. Folks, you're always going to have a hiccup a time or two. We all have. You know why? We're all human. We're all going to have these hiccups where we agree to disagree about something or another. But folks, good fellowship comes from good love. And you love people. Love, you know, just like I've shared with you before, love's that WD-40. You know, things go to squeaking around this church, just love your brother or sister more. Okay? Squirt a little WD-40 on it. That's called love. Love them anyway. Love people anyway. Now, I know it's hard, but good fellowship comes from that. David pleads for joy to be restored to his life. You know, when did he find that first joy? When he got saved? And I think about the things that happen, what happens when we're saved. You remember when you were first saved and on fire for God? I want to get that back every now and then. Folks, have you ever seen, now I love sports, and it makes a good analogy sometimes. I have seen ball players who were just lackadaisical, washed up, get moved to another team and have a resurgence. Maybe it's just one season, but you know why? They get the joy back for, I just love to play this game. Or they get excited about a new opportunity, you know? And you can get excited by, what is revival? It's another opportunity. And folks, revival services, people come to church, you come to church Some of you have been coming, getting up every Sunday morning and coming to church for umpteen years. And I've seen some, I mean, you come and you've got the wisdom of God boiling out of your eyeballs. You're so smart, full of God's Word. And you just got all this stuff and you're serving God and doing the motions. Have you ever seen somebody that's 30 or 40 get saved? And they just get, I mean, they got on fire for God. I went up to the elementary to at least probably once a week I'll go up to the elementary to have lunch with Karen and the kids up there at the and it's great food and thank you, Miss Emmy, and great food. $2, man, what a meal. And those ladies see me over there and they just smile and they slap a little extra on my plate. Oh, I just love those lunchroom ladies. Oh my goodness. And go up there. I couldn't even get to the cafeteria this week. Running Miss Tracy Streeter. She went to her dad's church out in the middle of somewhere between here and Hermitage. And went to her dad's church. I think it's her mom and her dad's church. And anyway, so went over there and they had a evangelist, full-time evangelist from Louisiana by the name of Jack Daniels. And that's his real name. And I have run into him before. I've met him. And he is a preaching machine. If you're easily offended, probably don't want to come to church and listen to him preach, because he'll offend you, step on your toes, and slap you upside the head. Not literally, but you'll feel like it when you leave. And I knew about this, and she went over there and she said, "Brother Michael, I have never in my life, I just couldn't believe it. There's something that she has. Tell me about this preacher and this evangelist," and just on and on and on and on and on. And when you haven't heard that kind of preaching in a while, and it's almost mean preaching. But, I mean, it's either get right with God or you go house. I don't want to hear you. And that's kind of in-your-face style of preaching. And that's it. But, you know, it was in the way Miss Tracy got all excited about it. She was headed back when that was Tuesday of this past week, and she is headed back Wednesday. And so she was excited because what is revival? It's a time of fellowship. Notice here, restoring the joy. You get joyful and excitement in Miss Tracy. I don't know how long she'd been saved, but she said this, and I've been saved all this time, and I haven't heard preaching like that in forever, and all of a sudden it hits you. What's right or what's wrong with my relationship with God? Maybe some joy is missing because you're just going through the motions. And you're here this morning, but you're not really here. Brother Mike, I don't understand. You know what I mean. You may be here in body, but you ain't here all the way. Because you don't care. Your mind is somewhere else. You'd rather be somewhere else. You're not committed to the Lord because there's no joy in it anymore. I mean, you can lose your joy about going to work. Some of you did that a long time ago. You can lose your joy about getting up on Monday morning and punching a clock. But sometimes, you know, some people have a job change and they say, "Well, I enjoy going to work now." Some people have a change of schools and I enjoy it. Some people have a change and it's good. But you know why? I mean, wouldn't you say salvation and knowing God as your personal Savior is a good thing? But somebody, it's kind of like I can take my relationship with my wife for granted and lose the joy of our marriage until something happens to get my attention. My marriage has no joy in it because maybe I took it for granted. I'm just going through the motions. The same can be said between you and God. You're just going through the motions and there's no joy in it anymore. Revival is also a time of rekindling the fire. I'll just think about David, and I'll just say sometimes we're not on fire for God anymore. Isn't that a phrase? I watched some YouTube idiot the other day. If some of you don't know where that's at, what that is, I know that. And it's just a video thing. Anybody that takes a video can put it on the internet. This kid set himself on fire. took all the protection, you know, like a stunt man. And said himself, I said, that is an idiot. Of course, I've been an idiot. You know, I have. I've been an idiot before in my life. And God doesn't want you to literally set yourself on fire. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about being excited for serving God. And it's easy to get to the... Let me go ahead and say this. If you don't get excited about coming to church, either a lot of times we think, well, the church is not exciting. They don't excite. Church is not this. I don't get excited about this. Maybe it's not the church that needs to change, but maybe it's my heart that needs to change. Maybe I'm the problem. And a lot of times I don't like to look inward. The Lord set me on fire. Matter of fact, maybe you're the kindling that lights somebody else's fire. Did you know that can be contagious? Revival can be contagious. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's also a time of refreshing for the family. And I put there, did you know that a lot of you are so busy and worn out because we don't set aside a time as a family to give more time to God. Most of us just squeeze God in wherever He might fit. Well, if I've got a little extra time this week, Brother Michael mentioned 3 times for special prayer this week, I might be able to squeeze God in on one of them. Well, that tells you right there how busy your life is, but B, where our priorities are. And I know we're all busy. And it's tough. You know, when it comes to church and serving God, think about this, and I know I do because evangelist, and I'm hosting the evangelist, and we're trying to, and me and Karen, and we're so thankful for the classes because when you work, and I'm thankful for the ladies who volunteered during Awana and fix meals and this, and we're fixing meals and we're driving ourselves nuts sometimes trying to get everything done. But whenever we get through with a week of revival, I know it's okay to be tired physically, but have you ever been tired? I'll give you a great example. Tired physically, but refreshed in my spirit, to me is church camp. I'll come back from church camp, and I come back, and I'm wore slap out. I mean, I just want to collapse. I mean, I can fall down on a rock and go to sleep, but I am excited spiritually. And I wish that every revival would be that way. There's nothing wrong with being tired in the flesh. Jesus was tired. He went to the woman at the well, and he said he was tired. I need a drink. It's okay to be tired, but do you ever get just so tired that I don't want to even go to church? Folks, I've been tired before, but I wanted to go to church because I was refreshed. I enjoyed hearing God's Word in church. If y'all ever have somebody, you ask somebody to come to a preacher revival and they won't preach, I'm going to balk if you want to get them again. And not that I say I can do anything, but I want somebody that can preach. I want to hear good preaching. And I know most of you do too. Who needs revival? I got you for about another 15 minutes, and that'll be just enough time to cover this. I know Miss Denise, when she saw this, probably said, "Oh, Brother Michael took up the whole bulletin with his outline." It is a little long, but the introduction was a little long. There's one of my typos, not hers. The first reference is Matthew 24:12, not 2, okay? And that just says this. Boy, what is the context on Matthew 24? Sign of the end times. Boy, it's a neat chapter in the Bible. But you know what Matthew 24:12 says? It says, when iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold when the power goes out. And I'm so thankful that we've got such dependable Ashley Chico electrical workers. When it goes out, it doesn't usually stay out long, and I'm thankful for them. But, you know, and every now and then it'll go out, and the kids, and we'll light, and we've got some coal oil lanterns or whatever that oil is that we pour in those jokers. And we've got some candles and stuff. And you ever watch that wax? I remember I used to, kids don't play with hot wax, but I used to play in hot wax. And you know, I used to put my finger in it, and it would freeze back up. And just keep going. I'd have a big old glob. I'd just keep adding, keep adding, keep adding. Just a little boy. I know your preacher's not supposed to do stuff like that. But play with wax. You ever watch that wax run down that candle? The further it gets away from the flame, the colder it gets. That's easy to understand. Who's our flame? The Lord is. And the colder we get away from that flame, I mean, the further we get away, the colder we get inside of our heart. When iniquity, that means sin. And I have sin in my life, and it's making me cold. Cold how? I don't mean thermostat. There's no way in the world. I don't know who operates the thermostats. I don't know who's, I know Miss Geraldine gets them going, but then they'll move. And there's no way in the world we can set these thermostats to please every one of y'all. By the way, just put that in there. That's a commercial break. And me too. But guess what? I'm not talking about thermostats. I'm talking about getting away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The further we get away from Him, the colder we get. We get cold in our... Have you ever said, boy, they're cold? Oh, man, they're cold. Have you ever been in a church that was cold? I'm not talking about thermostat. Oh, man, they're just not friendly. I love our fellowship. Now, I know that somebody in here may think, well, they're not friendly to me. You know, but the Bible says the man that desires friends must first show himself friendly. You want people to go nuts about being around you? Become interested in other people. There's a book, I think it was written back in 1948 or something, Dale Carnegie said, and How to Win Friends and Influence People. He said, I've never met a dog who didn't wag his tail. And it means he was interested in you. And did you ever see a dog that wanted to come up and tell you all about himself? Dog didn't want to tell you all about himself. You know what normal dogs do? They're interested in you. They want to lick your hand. They want you to throw the ball. They want you to, but they're interested in you. Did you know if you want people to be interested in you, you need to be interested in them. Don't tell other people all about yourself. You ask them all about their self, and you'll have the most pleasant conversation you've ever had with people. You know what? I think the Lord is interested in you. He is interested in your life. But if you're cold, Revelation 2:4 says that church, the church at Ephesus, you know what that verse says? They lost their first love. They lost their first love. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Revelation 2:4, the church at Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Are you in love with the Lord? Folks, if you're cold because you don't care, and people that don't care become cold, and you know what happens then? If you're cold, you become calloused. And you know what a calloused person, if you stay cold long enough, you'll become calloused. Basically means this, that you can say no to God. I can tell I spend a lot of times. Yesterday, I changed two of my vehicles' oil. I realized that I was talking to Miss Martha Jo, and she had a little hiccup at Walmart changing her oil the other day. And I normally get my oil changed here and there and everywhere and just keep up with it. And I decided to go back, Brother Dennis, start changing my own oil. I can save $20 a vehicle if I do it myself. Okay, done figured that out, done put a pencil to it. To me, that's $60 unless I make Taylor pay for her own vehicle. Okay, which I have done on occasion. So I bought all the stuff, going to change all the oil and air filters. I had it all on sale. And if AutoZone still has it, you can get that stuff for in the filter and everything, $19.95. All right, just enough of the commercials. But I was changing that oil on that Fram oil filter, and somebody had put that thing on with Gorilla glue. And that sucker was on there, and I was straining and turning, and I could tell my hands had gotten a little soft. Mm-hmm. I say, man. And I struggled and scrimped, and my wrench wouldn't fit on there because it was so tight. So I just said, man, I said, I'm going to get this thing off here, even if I got to. I knew a couple of tricks, but I didn't want to do that. But I was grunting and almost ripped the hide off my hand on that rough surface oil filter. And I realized that you know what? My hands don't have the calluses on there that I used to have when I worked at the sawmill and other places. But you know what? In my heart, I don't want my heart to become calloused. I don't want to be hard-hearted. Cold-hearted means I don't care. Calloused means you can tell God no. I mean, my memo taught me, Reese, that it's okay to ask anybody and everybody for a discount. Doesn't matter who it is. Because you know why? Worst thing they can do is what? Say no. That's right. And a lot of people say no to God. I mean, just that easy. Real easy. They just say no to God. Preacher's preaching. They want people to come to the prayer service. Nope, I don't have time. See how easy that was? Well, the preacher's always pestering the Sunday morning crowd about coming back on the Sunday night time. No, I don't have time. Oh, you see how easy that was? I mean, it's just easy to say no. But maybe it's a sign of our heart. Listen to this. You ready? Have you ever wondered about saying yes to God? If you're saved, you said yes to Him. Have you ever wondered about saying yes to God? Say it to Him again. Yes, God, I will. Does He want you to help out in the church a little more? Or maybe, listen to this. Maybe you're a church member this morning, but you're not saved. That does happen. And it happened with the Lord. He had a lost church member. In other words, you can tell the preacher, I'm saved. You get baptized. Miss Harriet writes your name down in the church roll. Did any of that save you? Telling the preacher, getting baptized, or Miss Harriet writing your name down. Some people have the thought that they were saved. But they really weren't. And folks, if you're lost and you're a church member, it's time to get things right. It's time to get things right with the Lord. Ask Him to save you. Well, moving on, if you're cold, you can become calloused. And if you're cold and calloused, you know what usually happens? You become critical. Oh, that's a natural progression. I'm already a little cold, which means that I'm just, you know, I don't have the joy of salvation. Folks, if you don't have the joy of your salvation, you're cold. I just put it to you bluntly. And if you're cold, it's real easy to become callous. And callous, my whole illustration there was it's easy to say no. You get that rough exterior. You get that rough exterior. And then if you have a rough exterior, you know what then can happen? You become critical. Because you're always looking at others instead of looking inside. And when you never look inside, you're always judging others. You know, and looking at this envy, strife, unforgiveness, gossip. Folks, and I'll just back up there. All of these things lead from gossip. Is the ultimate end. You know what gossip is? Gossip is talking about somebody without their permission. Okay? Talking about somebody without their... And you know why you do that? Because you don't like them, or unforgiveness, or you got one up on somebody, or you want to cause strife, or maybe you're a little envious, or maybe you're a little jealous. You want me to use some more synonyms or adjectives? Huh? And a lot of this comes from the fact that, did you know that if you run somebody else down inside, you may not be thinking this, but this is what you're doing. You're trying to make yourself look better by running somebody else down. Did you know that's why kids call the other kids' names? They may not think that, but I know that. I did it. Well, if I can call them a name to get attention off me and lower them down, make me look better. Oh, there's lots of reasons to call names, but that's the ultimate end, is pride. Pride's a big thing in our church. I'm talking about the bad kind of pride. There's nothing wrong with taking pride in the appearance of our building. That's a good kind of pride. Taking pride in a job well done at work. That's a good kind of pride. But pride that causes you not to be concerned about others. Pride that causes you to sin. Okay? I don't know if that's my microphone. I'm just going to preach through these bumps and y'all just hang in there with me, okay? But critical, being critical can cause a person to do that. Too many people sometimes in a church can become known for this. And that is, I'm going to tell everybody, in other words, if I see something, I'm going to sit back and I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to sit back and I'm not going to do anything. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait for somebody to mess up and then I'm going to say something. Now, you're not thinking that, but that's what we eventually do. Okay? In other words, being a critical person, I'm cold, I'm calloused, and then you know what happens? I become critical. Y'all just go ahead and mess up. And I'm going to blow my whistle like a referee, and I'll call a foul on you. But do we encourage? A critical person never encourages. A critical person never says, man, you did a great job. We get caught up in that. Psalms 33:1 says this, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely from the upright, or for the upright. And then lastly, in closing, the cruel saved person. When you're cold, you get calloused, and then you get critical. And then you can become cruel. How many of us want to hurt other people? Did you know that because sometimes we're critical, we can hurt others? The Bible says this, and you don't have to turn over there, I'll just quote it to you. It says in Hebrews 10:25, it just says this, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging one another as we prepare for a hymn of invitation. I want to ask you, what about revival? What about it? Do you have the joy of your salvation? Before David could say now this is going back to my text in Psalm 51. Before he said verse 12, you know what he said? He said verses 1 through 4, which was what? I confess, I messed up. I'll sum it up for you. God, I messed up. So before he got the joy of his salvation back, what did he do? He told God he messed up. Folks, your preacher messes up. I have to confess that to God every day. I messed up. You have a preacher that's a far, far cry from ever being perfect, from ever not making a mistake. I'm going to mess up. Eventually, if I remain your pastor long enough, I'll offend you. I'll offend you. I'll mess up. I'll hurt your feelings. Will it be intentional? No, that's not the way I am. I don't think I've ever intentionally tried to hurt anybody in my life. But you know what? I do. I do that, though, because I'll forget something or I'll say something wrong. I mess up. In order to get things right with you, I've got to tell you, I'm sorry I messed up. In order for me to get things right with God, I got to tell God, God, I messed up. So that's what we have to do. As we all stand and turn to page number
17. 17.